In conversation with Julian B. Ryan. Julian B. Ryan is a communication catalyst, a storytelling keynote speaker, humorist, facilitator, author, and coach. She shows a client how to listen better by teaching them how to use their voices without raising their voices, one authentic and informed conversation and story at a time. Jillian is the author of the Morox, the Lane in Queen's Communication Playbook, Winning Against Digital Distractions, and co-hosts the Leadership Story Talk podcast by Narrative International with Jerome Duro, the CEO of Narrative International, a series designed to champion employees' engagement and community building through the art of listening and narrative storytelling. She's also a contributing author. The award-winning global anthology, The Echoes of Humanity, exploring human wonders through the pages of lessons, affliction, distress, triumph, victory, and brilliance. Ryan has given her time and support to empowerment programs such as the Sister Mentors, Executive on Campus, Baruch College EOC, Queen's Centers for Progress. She mentored Launch 1000 and numerous professional associations that champion learning. Julian B. Ryan is a native, lifetime New Yorker. She's married to a college sweetheart, a Dublin Irishman, who has never met a sentence he couldn't make longer. She learns something from him every day. And on today's episode of Auto Interview, it's my utmost pleasure, joy, and excitement to have on the show today, Julian B. Ryan. How are you doing, Julian?
I am doing so well, and I'm so excited that we got to connect and you reached out to me from way across the other side of our planet. And now we get to meet each other face to face in this venue. So thank you
Absolutely.
so much.
Absolutely. It's my pleasure, actually, and thanks for coming on. And I need to mention that you have such an amazing, beautiful bio. Quite fun reading
Thank you. Thank you.
it.
It's all true.
So, Julian, I know it takes a digital world today, and most people are compelled, held like slave, and swallowed by the pleasure of the digital age. I mean, the pressure, the good and the bad it has to offer. And sometimes we all know that it is hard to stay focused and motivated. And I'm curious, is this why you decided to write a book to help humans stay focused despite the number of distractions imposed on us digitally? Or what motivates the making of the book particularly? I'm curious, yeah.
Yes, thank you. Way before there was a book, there was a speech. And right before that, it started like everything else we do in life with a complaint. Sometimes the thing that annoys us the most is the thing that's our biggest gift. Many years ago, I was HR director, and then I was married to my Irish husband, who I was always talking, never listening. And then on top of that, I would do a lot of people watching in New York City when I was commuting to my job. And I would look at people on the trains. I would listen to conversations. And whether it was in work, whether it was in on the train, and sometimes in home, people were not listening and they were checked out. The gadget in front of them was the most important thing. And I would lift mine up, but doesn't always look good on the camera. But we were not focusing. People were really good at having their earbuds and their pods. And there was
Absolutely.
a lot of assumptions. A lot of assumptions at work where people would read a meme email or they would copy people in emails and start to have contention. Years later, I was by a host of very odd circumstances when I was running an organization, somebody reached out to me and invited me to be a speaker at a very large conference. And I knew nothing about the conference. It was the largest place. I realized afterwards that I was going to be speaking at 500 people in a room full of executives who, as you know, sometimes don't have the longest attention spans, and they're consumed with what they need to be doing in other outside of the room. And I was going to be on a very big stage in front of big screens. And I'm 5 foot two. On a good day, I'm 5 foot 3. And all I remember thinking in that moment when somebody shared that fact with me is going to say, They're going to hear my queen's accent. They're going to say, why is this short little middle-aged woman showing up to talk to us? And she's no big name. And what am I going to do? And that was the birth of a very important voice in me that I called it the queen's girl that said, you're going to have to show up as yourself. You're going to have to be authentic. And that was the best gift because I used queens and my speech there to explain how we get into trouble and what we can do to get out of our own way. But I did it with humor.
That's actually amazing, really. And I mean, from the title alone, you can easily have a snippet into what all of this is all about. And it's actually amazing because we don't get to see books in this particular genre. And now that wants me to make me to ask you, because me reading through the description page of the book and Google Books and Amazon, I find it to be quite compelling. And I would like to ask you, what inspired you to write the Lane in Queen Communication Playbook? How did the name come to be, first of all? What inspired the making of the book, first of all? And again, what do you aim to achieve with the book? I think I've got three questions in there already.
You do. And you're going to have to repeat those. Okay. So, what I just shared before was the making, the introduction of the book. And what happened after I did the speech, which had a lot of the key elements that are in the book, I had amazing slides that I worked with somebody to create or comic moments. It was like the slides were my sidekick, a minute of humor in front of an audience to talk about what we get in trouble. We make assumptions. We write the own scripts when we're somebody's talking to us. Before we've had the conversation, we think we know where they're going to pitch us out. So lots of common sense. But when the speech was a success and a couple, I gave it a couple of times, I thought, well, I'll write a book. How hard is that? I have all the pictures. And let me tell you, what works on the stage doesn't work on the page. And you're going to ask me, I'm sure, at some point about the writing process. 64 drafts over a year and a half of me trying to figure out how to introduce myself and what would work on the page. I tried a very intellectual approach and I'm like, well, that's too stuffy. I tried other approaches. And then finally, during the lockdown we had here, I committed to getting something on paper and then did the best thing I could. I found collaborators to help me get out of my own way. But that's for another question later on.
Oh, that's amazing. That's amazing. Thank you so much for sharing. I'm not sure if you bring in the answer to what do you aim to achieve with the book in your response.
Because you had so many questions. So my goal, okay, so the original prompt on the stage and on the page, this is where. What do we all have in common? Because I was talking when I was on the stage to people from across the country, different backgrounds, different political beliefs, different regional beliefs. I wanted to talk about something that we all have in common that we get in trouble about and that none of us are very good at. We all need to improve our communications, me, and also figure out how we can get out of our own way. And that is also the premise of the book to say, you and me, we're in this together. I don't come across saying I'm the expert. I'm like, I learn every day because every conversation is a living thing. How I talk with you is very unique, even though I'm touching on things I've spoken about before, because you, in the training I've had in a narrative training, we consider this room a very special vessel. It's and the conversation that happens here is unique. So, like an actor or a performer, we have to treat every conversation fresh. And when we can do that and be present, we can get out of our own way. Now, do I do this perfectly every day? No, because I have a husband and he helps me train myself to know. And this is sometimes harder than we think. And I'm sure a few people out there are going to agree, like, yes.
Absolutely.
Decades of training.
That's quite fun, really. Thank you so much for sharing. And I can see that you have another book just right beside me. Perhaps your left or your right, I cannot really tell. Echoes of Humanity
I
there.
have to look that way, this way.
Echoes of Humanity. Could you tell us about that too?
Well, ironically, when we got released from our COVID scenarios, I went and wrote another edition of the book, which I'll start with that because this is important. and
Wow.
it's a little bit bigger. It's a workbook. So
Oh.
I joined a publishing, and they have more pages and more facts because I thought, well, we have a book that's fun, it's relatable. Psychiatrists have used it,
Yeah.
teachers have used it, but we read it and then it's done. And I thought, maybe if we can have something in the back that has more examples, and then we
Absolutely.
can work on answers for ourselves.
Yeah.
And I put myself through the educational process again. So
Wow.
when I published it, I was part of a writing group with, and I met, like on a Zoom, another Zoom like this, a Kelly Markey. She's from South Africa,
Wow.
Indian heritage, and then moved to Australia and a few other places, but she's based in Australia. And she was in the process of releasing a few books she's written, and then we hit it off, we connected. And then she invited me to be part of an anthology that
Wow.
she was collecting for women that about examples of resilience, about tough times, and then how they overcame it and what they used those experiences for good. So
Yeah.
I invited my colleague, who you mentioned in the bio, to share a little bit of our work, share some of our backstories to give some context, and then some story 101 tips to the reader to use to help tell their story to somebody, whether it's their family or friends or workmates,
Yeah.
to, and even the most important is to tell it to yourself and to appreciate, I was here, I experienced this, what can I do to use it for good? So that book came about because I showed up, paid attention, listened, and made a
Well.
connection, which is what the other book talks about. Sometimes the most beautiful things happen when we pause and pay attention to the person in front of us and have a
Wow.
conversation and listen.
Wow. Oh, wow. That's such an amazing statement to make. The most beautiful thing sometimes happen when we pay attention and pause and listen to what the person in front of us has to say. I have to repeat that. That's quite amazing, really. That's lovely. Yeah.
And I have a very good example that
Oh, wow.
just came out of nowhere yesterday. I went to a local pharmacy yesterday,
Yeah.
and it's one of these things you get everything. I was buying a, they have cards, and I need to get cards and a few other things.
Yeah.
So I chatted with a gentleman behind the counter, and I've seen him before, and he's helped me scan and get, my
Okay.
things done.
Yeah.
Very pleasant. I always thought it very nice energy. But yesterday we took a few minutes more, and I was very calm. No, not a lot of people in the store. And he asked me what I did, and I shared. And then he shared, not only was he the manager of the store, I asked where he's from. He was from Nigeria, and
Oh.
he is a trained filmmaker who is looking to teach filmmaking and do more film work over here.
Wow.
And we had a great chat. And then I share the names of two colleagues. One of them is from Nigeria to say, I met a fellow countryman today. Why don't you connect and, chat
Yeah.
with him? And so here's somebody I've passed, I've waved. And then when I went on LinkedIn, like I did with you earlier, I saw that somebody I had never talked to of any substance. We have 23 people we share on LinkedIn.
Wow.
And I've been passing him in, the aisles for like a couple of months now. And so we never know that one degree of connection, which I think is, we talk about wellness, we talk about things we can do to make ourselves healthier. I walked out of that store so energized by the joy about how small the world is. And then if we just take a moment for one more question, which is one of my questions I pose in the book in a very funny way, those connections happen in the most amazing way. And with me, it's been happening all the time. So taking a moment to listen, show up, and just appreciate the person's experience. Even if the man was a filmmaker, the fact that he's running a store, has employees, has to deal with cranky customers, has to deal with ha happy customers, appreciate that moment of what somebody brings to your day. They said hello, they said thank you.
That's actually amazing, really. As we are speaking, I have to take some notes in here that I'd love to go back to. And thanks God,
Okay.
this is an interview that can be rewatched. Yeah. That's very, very important. Very, very important because you never can tell who is next to you, what help they might even offer you. You never can tell what way you guys can get to work together in future time. You never can tell if they are all, in line with whom you're supposed to connect with as life is concerned. Yeah, that's quite amazing, really. One degree of connection helps a long way. Yeah, that's very amazing. Thank you so much for your amazing, beautiful, and life-changing answers to these questions. They're quite impressive. I mean, just one degree of connection, rather than having to be stuck with your phone and just keep quiet. Or I mean, it's fine to keep quiet on certain occasion, but then like you said, the person in front of us might be the next beautiful thing that can happen to us. So it's very important, yeah. And also it also bridge and tends to keep the beauty of communication that we all need, yeah. We all need, even as a business owner, whatever you're into, you need this degree of connections. You need to be able to make communication. You need to be able to connect with people, irrespectively, actually, yeah. Thank you. Thank you for sharing.
Well, one thing I use storytelling in my work
Yeah.
to build a foundation for team building or personal coaching when somebody wants to think about their next steps or what they're missing. And my colleague and I, Jerome DeRoy, and I, when we collaborate, we use stories. We find simple things that people could relate to that they could talk about that can be foundations. Sometimes it's about a food that we love, and
Yeah.
we can talk about why we love it, who made it, what it reminds
Absolutely.
us, or a special moment, that person, because we're looking for connections. Now,
Yeah.
we live in times where there's a lot of contentious sometimes, and people don't agree, and they're angry, and we look at each other and go, I have nothing in common with that person. How can they be there? So if we can, and I'm not saying that I'm all chill all the time about things, but is to make a little bit more effort to humanize the other person and show up, it does make a stride, because
It
people
makes
can
a
make us
stride.
crazy, and frustrating, it's a lot. And one of the things I have to emphasize, what's in the echoes this way
Yeah.
of humanity, is I give a little bit more context of what drew me to the working of storytelling. So it wasn't all roses in the garden in Queens. There were tough times, tough moments of in school, just really horrible years. And
Wow.
repurposing that and looking for the lesson and the good, not saying that was great, but looking at who helped, what makes a difference. So maybe somebody else who's struggling in similar ways as a young person, as a up and coming professional, even as an adult, to say these are some basics that we can do to help us. And then, of course, find tribes, find people who are on a similar journey or really are embracing personal change and
Yeah.
are willing to champion you in a good way.
Wow. That's quite amazing, Julian. Thank you so much for sharing. I mean, I enjoy listening to this. I love it to go on and on and on and on and on. We can go on and on. I love your take on that. And now I'd also like to ask you, what informs your work? What are the most important, thing all of us can learn to do or get better at? And why does it matter to you?
Connection, human connection, communication matters, because when I started thinking about the speech I wrote, when I approach a workshop, when I'm going to go and talk to, I always look at, let's boil down to the pure essence of what the situation is and how we can together move it forward. And a lot of it boils down to listen to, being seen and heard. That is at the basis of most conflict, and it's also at the base of most communication. So how we listen, and the thing, I mean, Nigerians have beautiful tradition of storytelling.
Yeah.
It's teaching people how to listen patiently be engaged in the conversation,
Yeah.
but letting that other person say the words. We may not agree with everything, we might have a different story, but that space that we're creating to build trust and empathy.
Yeah.
I started to use storytelling, not in a workshop, in my work in HR, because I didn't have a budget. I had no money to do anything. So I would use storytellings in interviews, tell the interviewee where I
Yeah.
had failed when I wanted
Wow.
them to tell me a story about their what they need to improve or what they have improved. And they would look at me and be shocked, like, why are you sharing this? Because I wanted to have a real interaction. And I did it in so many other scenarios. And what it taught me, because I learned about it that way,
Yeah.
years later, when I learned about the science of storytelling, how you take emotions, you take facts, you stay remembered, and then your body language changes and your brain waves change when you're listening to a story. Your whole brain becomes engaged, and
Yeah.
you never listen, you never look at the person the same way when they've shared something that's important and truthful. Not like TV commercial curated where it's all polished, but something from the heart that really resonates, that took some courage to step forward first to share and offer as a connection. So there's so much to talk about this, but I think if we all practice this little ways every day, we would learn so much about ourselves and others. So that's my mission.
Oh, well, wow, that's quite amazing, really. Human connection, communication matters. Thank you so much. That's quite amazing. Thank you so much for sharing. I mean, this is very educative. It's quite inspiring, and it's timely as well. Very timely. Yeah. Now, for readers who haven't read, I know we've talked a bit about it though, but for readers who haven't read Learn It in Coin yet, and without giving much information away, could we have a sneak of what you'd expect in terms of themes, yeah? The themes, the subject line, picking up the book.
I'm always on a mission to bundle learning with a laugh. So you will go, oh, I'm not from Queens, but I get this about how we
No.
have a bubble over our heads sometimes and we show up and think we have all the answers. So you're going to have a chuckle. And then you'll be able to read it with your family members or friends and have a laugh and say, she gets me. She doesn't know me. She hasn't met me, but she gets me. Because we all get in trouble. We all think we're, you know, like the best thing, but it doesn't work out that way.
Yes.
And then you, it kind of gives you permission. Who wants to get, look at your best teachers. Like you're asking me how you learn. Our favorite teachers are the ones that saw possibilities in us and sometimes had a sense of humor, but were very firm about here's the standard. So it's like having me in your ear, coaching. And look and teaching us to embrace the small moments. And I make fun of everyday
Wow.
life. In Queens, we had to wait. It was far, where I live was far away from Manhattan. So even as a kid, we learned how to get on buses, city buses, and hang there. Nobody was driving us anywhere. And you learn to
Wow.
observe people. You learned how to mix it up because you're squished together. So you were forced to listen to other languages and other personalities and just learn by being part of it. And that's my other lesson, to say, discover what's hiding in plain sight. You know, sometimes we're so used to what we're, you know, who's in our community. Like, travel,
Yeah.
be curious. So
Curious.
I encourage about the importance of sitting down with other people and sharing food. Always a big source of joy for me. So if I'm
Wow.
ever in your neighborhood, you better feed me. That's one important, and being curious, and then realizing the biggest lesson, sometimes it's us. Sometimes we got it wrong, and we need to have an opportunity to relearn and have that person have some patience with us so we can get, my Queen's accent comes out with this, but
Wow.
better about what we're doing and how we're thinking. So it doesn't
Interesting.
happen alone. It happens with you, with your community,
Yeah.
and just appreciating Just the gift of connection. You popped in out of nowhere. You weren't even in my regular inbox. You showed up in spam. And I was like, I don't know. This could be a scam.
Somebody
So
pop up
that
for
kind of
outside of
leap
the
of
world.
faith, yeah, we were a living example. What you're trying to put across. Let's be
I
real here.
slapped my
Like,
face up to your face. I said, "Here am I. Here am I. Can't you
yes.
see
And then it was like, I don't know this guy. I mean, because there's so many people trying not to do the best thing by themselves or others. So when you showed up and I'm like, okay, give this guy a chance. And then lots of back and forth. You could have thought, well, I don't know if she's legit or whatever she's doing. So it's about taking a chance sometimes and then being patient. So
That's great.
having a little bit of humor about and saying, and my quote to myself when I'm having a moment is, and something goes epically
Ari.
wrong, is I will use this for something
Yeah.
someday, maybe at a distance when there's a little distance, but it'll come in handy. It'll come in handy. So f showing up with some humor and appreciation. Last week I talked to a whole group of lawyers for a team building. It was their paralegals, it was legals, and I started with a very warm and embracing line that I do this work now because I want to spend less time with lawyers. So it disrupted them. They weren't ready for that. They were gonna probably thought I was gonna
Goodness.
read my whole bio. And I'm like, no, isn't this ironic? I got picked to talk to you.
Oh, wow. That's funny.
So we're just, you gotta show up as you are and just appreciate that everyone is trying to figure it out. Everyone's trying to do the best. Everyone makes
Absolutely.
mistakes and
Yeah.
we just have to kind of forge on a little bit.
Oh wow, that's quite amazing. And I love your response to these questions. Quite fun, educative, inspiring, lively, animated, lovely, hot. I mean, it's a lot, yeah. Thank you for sharing. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I have a big question, and you asked me what informs my work. I love to entertain people. I like when a room is full, whether it's a presentation or in a training room, where they
The
laugh my jokes.
energy.
I'm like, that's great. But I get more excited when I learn about folks and I hear them starting to share a story.
Yeah.
So I would like you to indulge me. Because I love backstories. It's like some women collect shoes or lots of clothes. I collect backstories. So I need you to indulge me by telling me, at least in a sentence or two, what prompted you to do this podcast and this work?
That's a nice one, actually. Well, yeah, how do I start it? English literature started 2020 during coronavirus. I think one of the things that prompted me was the fact when I first had my first book published, Ecstasy of the Dead. That was 2019, 2020, 2019 slash 2020, should be around December, January period. So after getting it published, I was looking for avenue where I can promote it. So I reached out to a couple ones I found on the internet space, and they were like, "Oh, we don't do self-published authors." I'm like, "Okay." Then I reached out to other ones too. "We don't do self-published authors." I was like, "Really? That's a bad stigma out there around self-published authors." Then over and over again, I keep pushing out to once I know it got to a point. I don't like to tell people I'm self-published. I don't know, but later on, I just realized that okay, since there's not much avenue for promoting self-published authors, and why don't I just start one? Because I am a good, well, everybody, it's not as if I'm impressing myself, but then I know I've written such amazing book of poetry that people needs to read, and I said, okay, no problem, I'm gonna start up a platform for myself and promote, indie authors, and that's how I started. And the first request I got from Shana Barker, she's late now, and hilarious, I keep getting requests from fellow indie authors, and to cut you the short, I've had amazing books written by independent published author that were like, wow, this is amazing. I mean, this is beautiful. So it get to tell you that, talent, skill, writing doesn't only end with the traditional guys. I mean, the beauty of you being a very good writer, a good storyteller, an amazing poet, doesn't only stop with the trad guys. Because most people get to feel that, okay, since your book doesn't come through the trad guys, it didn't come through the big publishers, then, oh, I think it takes a bit of, silly things in it, or it's not good enough. It doesn't fit into the text. Oh, I'm not gonna do that. It's a bunch of rubbish. Yeah, so I realize there's a lot of stigma around self-published books, and reading a lot of it gives me a lot of joy. I'm like, wow, I've discovered so many amazing authors writing on the themes of fantasy, thrillers, horror, science fiction, romance, name it, the list is endless. And over again, I'm like, this is amazing. Well, fine. I think one of the stigma we have around self-publishing, the fact that most people think that since it was done by the author themselves or some small press, then it's not good enough. Fine, I've experienced some books that are not good enough that are self-published, and I've experienced more than amazing, 80% actually, that I find to be very wholesome. And I'm like, this is the seven award. Yeah. So the absence of a platform, or when I say my rejection, because first of all, you get a rejection trying to get yourself into the trad world, and now you've got it published by yourself, and you're still facing rejection promoting. I said, I feel that's not fine enough. Yeah. So I thought to myself that I would love to find a platform that would, first of all, love promoting stuff. And so far, we base our promotions, the author interviews, the book reviews on self-published author initially. Well, as time goes on, I've had some people pump into my DM. Yeah, we are trad guys. We love to have some of our authors on your show, even the big ones. I'm like, oh, okay, interesting. Yeah. So we've been approached by the trad guys too, the big publishers, after saying that, okay, I think you're doing an amazing job. Like most people will say, I'm not trying to praise myself though, but people will say, I think you're doing something great in the author community. Let's ask some of our authors on your show. Yeah, that prompt making of the English literature's, the old podcast stuff. And again, the second one, it's recently I found a book club in my city. What prompted that again is the fact that, after publishing my book 6 years, there are no avenues in my city for book conversation. I've searched the nook and cranny of the city. I've went on Google, Korea Book Club. So I found one. Then I called them, like, oh no, we are not a book club. We are book publishers. I'm like, oh my goodness. It's frustrating. Yeah. It's frustrating. I mean, for a city
I
this,
know, I've been on that journey.
absolutely, for a city this big, this very big, and there are no single book club. I was like, it's a shame, really. I mean, it's a huge shame. So I thought to myself, what can I do? Okay, in the absence of a book club in my city, let's go, let's do it. I mean, it has taken me quite a lot of time, a lot of contemplation, because I know a lot of money is involved in setting it up, so many things involved. I mean, then I said, okay, initial, because whenever I travel, whenever I go to other cities, and the Akure Book Club, actually not Lagos this time around. Whenever I go to other cities like Lagos, Port Harcourt, Abuja, the big cities, yeah, there are book clubs, there are book conversation. Almost everywhere people come together to talk about books. There are book festivals, yeah. There are poetry festivals. For 4 days, 5 days, you go there, immerse yourself in the world of books. But for my city, it's not the same. And then I thought, okay, let me bring up something. And hilariously, we started our first edition May this year. And we're having a fifth edition in 3 days' time, that's next Saturday. So far, we've been able to feature five different books, probably in different genres. And I'm excited. As folks, it was very challenging. I was like, am I sure this is gonna thrive? I mean, to get to bring those people together to talk about books, I was like, my mind goes, don't worry, just keep doing it, just keep doing it. And we are currently in our fifth edition, and we have, I think currently we have 220 members, yeah, active members in the
Oh,
community.
wonderful.
So it's amazing. It's a lot of, whenever one is absent, I love to create one. Another one I'm trying to create now is a literary magazine. Yeah, I'm getting to that. It's gonna be very big, yeah. People like Peter is taking, I'm trying to expand and expand and expanding and get the whole capture of the literary scene, of the literary society. Yeah. Yeah. I'm trying to get a literary magazine because I have been looking for avenues. Well, I know there are quite a few literary magazines here in Nigeria, but then I'm creating one that is not only made for Nigeria, but for a general sort of literary magazine without, any sort of country restricted to something that you can access from different parts of the world. Yeah. So yeah, I'm getting to that. It's a long journey, Kami.
Well, here's the thing I learned when I use storytelling in many different capacities, true now, is when someone tells an example of something that really means something special to them, their whole body language changes and they give so many clues about them. You now, to people who are just listening, all just know that Peter is all lit up, body language changed, sat up in his chair, moving
Really?
around. Oh,
I
yes.
didn't notice
So it's
that.
oh, yes. And it is because there's joy behind what you're doing. And I don't know who says this, but it's old expressions about like you teach what you need, you want to learn yourself, which is
Yeah.
what the speaking was. I was shy to a point of mute as a kid, terrified of, going up to groups. And now I talk to humans on a live thing. Like, it's amazing. We build sometimes we what we need to do, like, and it
Yeah.
risks resonating when you were talking about the podcast. Jerome and I were talking to each other during COVID. That was
Yeah.
the so much creativity came out of that. We're like, well,
Yeah.
we're interesting to each other, but we need to talk to other people. And the same thing happened to us at one point. Publishers were real contracts and amazing authors
Yeah.
reached out to us one day, not because
Wow.
of there was no money involved. They just said, like, we'd like to share our author with you. Would you
Interesting.
interview them? I couldn't believe it. And it started with a best-selling author
Wow.
who I reached out to him in an audacious moment. I was like being, I was like, what can you do today to change the conversation yourself? Just gonna reach out to him. A friend had shared it, this author Dan Lyons, and he says he's
Oh.
complaining about the same things you are. So I wrote him a
Wow.
note and on LinkedIn, and then I went, would you be on our podcast? And then he says, I have a publicist. And I was like, oh God, that's never gonna happen now. And that same publicist not only said yes, she sent us more people to
Wow.
say, here's some other authors that are doing some interesting thing that are online. So we don't know. And I think that's the gift. You tried, and you gave it a whirl, and you built something that I'm sure other authors are thrilled that they have a place to go,
Yeah.
to connect, to learn, because we're always learning. And all the connections. This is the LinkedIn I want to do. All the people that influenced us, and write a
Yeah.
big, huge map of that's how you get to where you want to go, and do be joyful along the way. So awesome. Thank you for
Absolutely.
sharing.
Yeah,
So,
you
and
know,
thank you for humoring my need to know the why.
and you know, it's been 4 years coming. It's a lot of challenges along the way. And yeah, we're going strong and strong. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for asking the question. I mean, I never knew I light up and change my expression.
Yes. And somebody in there who's wondering, should I write something
Yeah.
that means something to you?
Yeah.
And we talk, I'm not the best punctuation person. If I send something to my brother, my older brother, and where he lives in the Midwest, he sends it back corrected, even though we're really old at this point. But I
My
think we have
goodness.
tools, we have other people, but get what's
Yeah.
in your heart and your head on paper and try.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Oh, I enjoy that really. Thank you so much. And apart from the Learn in the Queen Communication Playbook and Echoes of Humanity as well, is there any other works you've authored or say currently working on?
It's working in my head. I have to work on paper and do what I'm preaching. I'd love to
Yeah.
do something about it's been noodling and trying to figure out what's the best way. Food, conversation, connection, and the lessons they teach us. I think this one will be much more collaborative, and I would love to
Yeah.
do it so it becomes part of an in-person experience or virtual experience, but with food. And because that is where I come from, food, and so many nationalities live there.
Wow, yeah.
It always teaches us something, but sitting down at a meal, whether it was at a friend's house in school or in college, where my roommates, we were broke, we came from everywhere, and we would share around our desk on the weekend a collective meal that we made up as we went, but it was some of the best memories. So food, and conversation and connection. So
Wow.
I'm noodling what that looks like. So anybody who's writing on the post, feel free to weigh in and reach out to
Oh,
me. And if somebody wants to help publish me too, that'd be awesome as well.
wow. That'll be
So.
wholesome. That'll be wholesome. Thank you so much for sharing. Before we
So
call it
thank
a
you for
day today,
asking. Yes, it's been documented in video, so now I have to do this. Oh my
that's
goodness.
amazing. Yeah. And before we call it a day today, is there anything that you love to share with the viewers about your books that we did not mention in this interview and you'd love the viewers to know?
I'm going to be mad at myself when I get off because I'm going to think of 10 things. One of the things I showed you earlier is there were simple plays. I wrote the word playbook, and my colleague who helped me edit it said playbook. Like you do sports, you train and you have to practice something, simple things every day. So you have not just me helping you laugh, but simple plays you can do. And I think that's the most important thing. And that you can refer to. I have it sitting in front of me every day and I learn from it. And you will too. And you'll have a laugh. And I think that's a gentler way to approach our self-improvement. And just keep working on it. And I would love, yes, the other thing is when you're posting, I hate one and done. So this better not be one conversation and it's over because that's not how I work. I like to build on it and say a couple of months from now, say, how's it going? What are you doing? What else have you done? So if you allow me to interview you once, like I've done for colleagues, that'll be a lot of fun.
That would
Just
be
throwing it out
great.
there. Because I want to hear from people. Let's build on this community of what you're doing.
That would be great. I'd love to do that. That's amazing. Yeah, thank you. And as a published author, what sort of advice do you offer other writers who are still struggling with writing and getting their works out there? What would you advise people in this category?
Find people that can read and weigh in that have trusted. They will give you. I have good fortune of I've stayed in touch with friends who are they're friends, but they were my former teachers in school many, many, many years ago. So we formed a writing group, and we have writing groups to support and had accountability when we were working on this. Take feedback. There are so many examples. This could be its own episode, I'm telling you, where I did the first version and I handed it off to a friend and a storyteller, and he handed it back to me and said, Julian, when you read it, take a breath because I reordered your entire book. And I thought, I'm going to have a heart attack because that was my baby. But when I looked at what he reordered, he goes, you can't look at this like your speech, it's a book. Approached differently. And what he did worked. When I thought I was in the world of done, I sent it to another colleague so she could give me a quote and read it. And she said, you left me flat at the end. So I had to write a new ending. And I was like, but she was right. So every step of the way, when somebody gave me an opinion that kind of got me upset for a few minutes, it was the right thing to listen to and things were better. So taking the guidance, listening to what the message is behind it, and figuring out how you still stay true to yourself, and then you get out of your own way.
That's an amazing advice, really. Thank you so much for sharing, and I'm hoping that viewers, including myself, would love to utilize it. Thank you so much for sharing.
Yes, sounds easy. It's not. It's not. It was painful. Lots of moaning. Nobody ever talks about that. We're all so curated when we go, no, it's miserable. It's complaining. And then I got it done. So there you go.
And just in case we have some viewers who are currently watching this interview, I would love to get a copy of your books. On what platform are they available on for purchase?
All right. During COVID, I published, they can go on Amazon and look for their different regions for English speaking books. So that's one thing. So there's the little early book that started. And then the larger book is available on book platforms all over the world that has the workbook. It's very easy to find them. Same thing with the Echoes of Humanity. If you put into Google, it's there. If you go to my website page, there's a link of a huge list of book publishers all over the world that are showing up that put it in. So that's how you find me. And then you can reach out to me on my website too and send me a note. And then I will look at it and go, I wonder if this is legit, and then we'll start a conversation and take it from there. So
That's
yes, thank you for
amazing.
asking. Yes,
Yeah.
one story and one connection at a time, making things
Absolutely.
happen, and you're one of the latest. And I'm gonna have to make a confession to you, Peter.
Yeah.
I am going to indulge in very stereotypical female behavior after this day is done. I'm going to be talking about you behind your back and talking about how I met you and telling former
Blushing.
students I have about you, because when you publish this, I have a link of students I've coached. I will let
Oh,
them know, because many of them came from Africa and
wow.
Nigeria. So let's, yeah, you didn't ask me that when we were talking, when we planned this. Yes,
That's
so it's all
amazing.
very amazing. One degree of separation.
Thank
Yes.
you. Thank you so much. I enjoy hearing that. Makes me blush, really. Thank
Oh
you.
my goodness. Okay.
Yeah.
You're glowing. You're just glowing, glowing, glowing. What can I
Oh,
say?
really? Thank you so much. And I left a link in the description part of this interview where interested viewers can get a copy of Julie B. Rand's books directly on Amazon and Google Books on our website and also another platform. I also left a link to our social media pages for possible followings. So thank you so much, Julianne, for accepting the
Thank you. It's an
invitation,
honor. It's
the
always an honor, and
feature.
I'm so delighted you found me and you took a leap of faith and reached out to me. So thank you.
Yeah, thanks for coming on. It's lovely having this conversation with you. I enjoyed it thoroughly.